We thank you for the night gone, for the week gone, and for a new week that you have ushered us into. We ask this morning that you speak to each one of us. You speak to those present here. You speak to those online. You speak to everybody, Lord, that we hear your word and act upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thank God very much. This is a surprise that I'm the first preacher to use this place. Can you clap for me, really? I've already received my promotion, so praise the Lord for that. I've already been introduced. Sorry for my voice. I've already been introduced. Samuel Luzobe is my name. I am married. None of my family members is in church today. Our son left early this morning, so they had to accompany him to the airport. They came back very tired and missed a bit of sleep, so they are not with us this morning. You've seen the skit and has been very, I almost wanted to say, what am I going to preach, because the skit has done it. What do you do when you think God has forgotten you? When you think you are abandoned and you don't have any more trust that God is looking at you or knows your situation? That's our topic for this morning. When you think God has forgotten you. You know, when I first thought of preaching about this topic, I said to myself, should I preach or just invite each one of us or select 10 people and they give their testimonies of how they think God has forgotten them? Because to each one of us, there is a situation, there is a moment when you have thought you've been abandoned. But after some time, I thought maybe the fishers of men will not be satisfied with that, since they're expecting a someone. For each of us, there's a moment when we think God has abandoned us, has forgotten us. Maybe as we saw, somebody is thinking about a marriage, a wedding, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, nothing seems to happen. And every time you are invited to come and attend other people's weddings, you are in the choir to sing for other people's weddings. So I keep wondering, where is God? Why am I like this? What happened to me? Am I there to rejoice on behalf of others and there's nothing joyful for me in this whole thing? Maybe as we had, it's a baby that you've been expecting and it hasn't happened. And every time you go for a pregnancy test, they say, not yet. It's negative. Has God forgotten you? And a few years back, I was speaking to a young lady. I don't know how young is young, but she had had 4 children and all of them were girls. And now she was pregnant and her prayer was a boy, because she has been expecting a boy. And so she didn't want to kill this excitement. She did not go for any test to find out whether it's a boy or girl. She waited for the moment and she gave birth. And I had the news. So I went to say congratulations. I said congratulations, and she said, Erachiwara. Erachiwara. Has God forgotten that kind of person? A fifth one, still a girl. Her prayer, a boy. As we saw, you've been looking for a job 3-4 years and there's no job. And others are getting jobs. They are being promoted. They seem to be moving very fast. And you're wondering, what happened to me? You've been asking for a promotion, praying and fasting. And you know what? It seems your friends who are getting promoted, even the person you joined the organization with, is now your boss, and you came on the same day. So what has happened to you? Has God abandoned you, forgotten you, thrown you away? Are you in the waste? Dumped as waste. Your file has disappeared from God's sight. It can no longer be traced. I spoke to somebody towards the end of this year, and she told me, my husband left. And the children, the two girls, have become unruly. And they're asking me, this God you trust, where is he? How come dad left? And I said, what do you want there? He says, I'm praying for my husband to come back. And she's been praying. It's not happening. And the question is, has God forgotten that person? So to each one of us, we have a situation in our lives where we say, has God left us? Maybe you struggle with an illness. It's not going away 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. You prayed. You've come to the pastor here. She has prayed. And you say, I think these Anglicans don't know how to pray. So you have gone to another pastor. Someone has prayed. And still nothing has happened. Has God forgotten us? Is your name erased from the register where God registers people's needs and cries? Are you a forgotten case? Has God neglected you? Do you feel abandoned? It's natural for each of us to reach that stage. And if you are feeling like that, I want to encourage you, it's normal, it's natural. Even Jesus on the cross said, why have you forsaken me? He felt humanly abandoned. In today's reading, Paul talks about a situation where he was taken to the third heaven. I think some versions say to paradise. Others say the third heaven. You can imagine being taken to the third heaven, sitting in the presence of God, enjoying it. He doesn't know that was the body, it was a vision. He says he was taken there, and he saw things there that he says cannot even be described to us here on earth. If I were the one, I would say, God, I don't want to go back. I just want to stay here. This is good. And if God said, then go back, I wouldn't take 14 years to talk about it. He says, he's talking about it after 14 years. If it was me, I don't think it would be even 14 minutes probably. It would be too long. As soon as I arrive, I would start. But he didn't talk about it until 14 years. And then he says, the things I saw there, I could not talk about them. You know, if it was me, I would set up Resolve Third Heaven Ministries. And I'm sure you'd want to come and join me in this kind of ministry. Because there are 24 hours you'd be in touch with the third heaven. Maybe Paul had such ideas. But Paul says, a thorn was given to him. A thorn in the flesh to keep him from being proud. And he prayed 3 times that it's removed. And the answer was, my grace is sufficient for you. Keep there with a thorn. Now the word used for thorn here is not the normal thorn, that you know, small thing that pierces you, you pull it out. But it's like a peg that puts up a tent in his flesh. We don't know what exactly it was, but it must have been really painful. And he prayed 3 times. And 3 times may not just mean 3 times, may mean 3 times and 3 times, just many, many times that he prayed. And every time God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Had God forgotten Paul? But later God reveals to him and says, that thorn is to help you so that you don't become proud. Because you came to the third heaven, my grace is sufficient for you. I want us to look through scriptures, and we'll only use 2 examples because there are too many, where we find people thinking God has forgotten them, and we see how they overcame those kind of situations. Does God ever forget us? All of you are aware of the story of Abraham and Sarah. Their prayer always was, oh, that we could have a child. Sarah had tried every possible concoction that was available, every herbal solution, everything that can be done had been done, but Sarah had not conceived. And so Abraham comes from a big fight that he's been having, a battle that he has won, and God told him, let's look at it in chapter 15. He's just come from battle, he's been successful, and God is making a promise to him. Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield, and your reward shall be great. And Abraham says, what have you said, God? My reward will be great. You are my shield. And in verse 3, as the Lord, he says, behold, you have given me no offspring. That was at the back of Abraham's mind. Whatever else was being said did not matter that time. What mattered is to ask God, you are saying there's a great reward. Why don't I have a child? All these years I have prayed, you are saying I'm your favorite. What does that mean when I have no child? And Sarah had given up. Sarah had become cynical. Sarah was making fun of every solution that was brought. She would say, I have tried that. It does not work. Leave me alone. God has forgotten me. When the angels eventually say, about this time, your wife Sarah will have a baby, Sarah laughs. She decided, I just laugh at the situation because it cannot be settled. God seemingly having forgotten Sarah. But at the appointed time, at the right time, Sarah had a child. And I want to say to you, there are many situations of barrenness in our lives when everything we do doesn't seem to yield results. We seem like we are not moving anywhere. Everything seems to be closed. We bang on this door, nothing happens. We try this, nothing happens. Barrenness, unproductive lives. And we seem like saying, has God forgotten me? I remember that in 1993, I so badly wanted to do further studies. And I moved in this city to every place where this could be done, whether it was Ministry of Education, whether it was Swedish Embassy, whether it was Finnish Embassy, every place you think of where scholarships could be found, because I wanted to go and study. And after 3 years, there was nothing. So I decided I would make an application to a university, Eastern University in the U.S. So I applied and I was admitted. That time I was called a college and I was very excited. They even gave me a quarter of the money and said, look for the three quarters. So I again went banging doors, knocking at doors, talking to people, talking to my employer. At the end of the day, the answer was no. There's no way. In fact, I remember my employer telling me, you are not one of the people we have in plan for you to study. You are not part of our human resource development plan. How do you like that? 13 years later, I had an admission, fully funded, same university, same employer. Wonderful opportunity. For 13 years, looked like God had forgotten me. Had he? No. So sometimes we say, everything looks not productive. But this morning, I'm here to tell you, God never, never forgets us. Tell your friend, God never forgets us. Your fire is alive and active in God's sight and is looking at it. He has not forgotten all about you. The second example I want to use, and we'll dwell a little more there, is about Joseph in the scriptures. But before I go to Joseph, let me tell you something. For every barren woman recorded in the scriptures who waited for a baby, that baby was very influential. That baby was very impactful. We always say, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you know that Isaac was a child out of a barren woman who prayed and waited upon God? Do you know that Jacob was the same? Isaac prayed for 20 years for Rebekah to conceive, and the twins came out, and one of the twins was Jacob, we talk about. We are going to talk about Joseph. Joseph was a child of a barren woman who prayed, who one time told the husband, Jacob, that you see, give me children or I die. And Joseph was born. And how impactful was Joseph? Go and follow the scriptures. Every child that was waited for became impactful. They did not become part of so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat. And you don't even remember who was begat. But these ones became impactful. The waiting produces something that is impactful in your life. That will be remembered. Amen. Hallelujah. Joseph, from one pit to another, and I'm going to be fast, and we look at the pits. We read from Genesis again, chapter 37. The first thing we read that Joseph was hated by his brothers. He was in a pit of rejection for no reason, for no crime, for nothing wrong that he had done. Simply, his father loved him. What was his contribution to that? Your father loving you more than others. What do you contribute to get that done? Nothing. But they hated him for that. Then he dreamt. Do you have a control over dreams? No. He just dreamt. The only mistake he did is that he shared his dream. And then they hated him more. The Bible says they hated him more for sharing a dream. Rejected for no reason. Just rejected. They didn't want him. The Bible says they could not say a kind word to him. That means everything they said about him was harsh, was bad, was ugly. They just did not like him. You can be in a pit of rejection like Joseph. You try to be a leader in your village and the voters reject you. I remember those days when people used to line behind, a man looked behind, and not even his family was lining behind him. So he collapsed. Rejection. You try to go to your clan, and you think they'll make you a leader, and they reject you. You go to school, if you're a student, you think you'll be a prefect, and they reject you. And when you go to where your friends are, they all move away. They reject you. They don't want to be with you. What do you do with a spirit of rejection that is moving all around you? So you decide to come to church and you think you'll stand for the position of treasurer and they reject you. Rejection everywhere you go for no reason of yours. So Joseph was rejected. He was in that pit. It's like a thorn in the flesh. Everywhere you go, you are simply not wanted. You are rejected. Has God forgotten you? Pit number two. He goes to see his brother sent by his father. And they say, this is our time. Let us finish off this boy who is arrogant. Let's destroy him. Second thought, let's throw him in a pit and leave him there. So he's thrown in a cistern, in a pit, in a mwala, a deep one where he cannot come out, and he's there alone. He's physically isolated from everything. He can probably hear a little of what is happening outside, but he's physically isolated. Everybody has left him in the pit. His brothers have left him in the pit. They sit to eat as if they are celebrating what they have just done. And Joseph is isolated physically. He's alone. He's no power to come out. He cannot do it alone. It was a lonely place, a frightening place. Have you been in that kind of pit where you are isolated, where nobody wants you, where you're physically locked up somewhere? You are alone. Nobody cares about you. You are in a pit alone. You can hear voices of people rejoicing, but for you, you are in a pit. It could be you are sick. It could be you are demoted somewhere. It could be you're in a prison. It could be in a situation, but you are not at a place where others can join you. You are isolated. Let me share some good experience for my life. I always say this, I've said this, but today I'm going to be a little bit more elaborate. 1980, I was living in a village where I'd grown up, 18 years of living in that village. That's where I was born. One night, the villagers came up and said, we don't want this family here any longer. With machetes, with the sticks, anything that could be found, we are chased out of that village in the midst of the night. And we scattered. Nobody wanted us any longer in a place we had always called home. And for the next 5 years or so, I did not have a place called home. I was a student in Namiriango, and every time the term ended, the question was, where am I going? Everybody would be rejoicing, time to go home. Holiday to set again day. But where was Luzobe going to go? There's nowhere to go. A place of isolation. Have you been there? Completely isolated and nowhere to go. I remember one of the holidays I spent on Kachira, that sugar plantation. Every time I passed there, I say, I was here for a holiday, eating sugar canes for lunch. Had God forgotten me? Yes, it looked like. But how come I'm here? It means God had not forgotten me. Amen? He was in the business. So maybe physically isolated and feeling like left alone. But I want to tell you, you are not left alone. God is with you. Change of mind. They said, this man, Joseph, let's get him out, this boy, and sell him and make some money. We need some cash here. It's better we get cash. Instead of killing him, let's sell him. So they sold him to Ishmaelites. From being a beloved son, a favored son, to being rejected by your brothers, now to being a slave, he was sold into slavery. Slavery means that there is no benefit for you. You work so hard, you are not paid, you have no rights, you have no time of your own, you are simply a slave, a machine that's working. You can be switched on any time and told to do what you want to do. That's what happened to him. In a strange land, a strange language, strange culture, strange people, and you're a slave. You know, I talked to a young man some years back. He had left his wife and children and gone with another woman. And for 12 years, he lived with that woman. And every time for me, I looked at them, I thought they were doing well because he was working very hard. You know, they had a farm, they were producing rice, vegetables, and selling. And everything seemed to be okay. 12 years, that relationship broke. And he came to speak to me. And one sentence I cannot ever forget from him says, ever since I left my family, for 12 years, whatever I had before I left is what I have. That's the only thing I have. For 12 years, he could not record anything he has added on his life. That is slavery. And you could be in that situation. There's nothing you have added. Has God forgotten you? Now the Ishmaelites said, we don't want this slave. We can also make more money. So they sold him. So he's now become a commodity. That's a fourth pit. He's become useless and worthless. A tradable commodity. Something to be passed on from one to the other. And so he's sold into the house of Potiphar. Do you sometimes feel worthless? Now, one time I talked to a former prostitute who had become changed. And she told me, I was a commodity. Any man would take me, I didn't care. Old, young, fat, small, anyone. I was a commodity on the market. Sometimes you can feel that worthless. You've been reduced to a commodity. Despisable. Non-respectable. Let me share another story. And before I share the story, I want to tell you that most of the stories I share, I have put them in a book. And in 2 weeks, this book will be out. It's called One More Thing. One More Thing. The Meditations of a Journeying Soul. 104 meditations. But let me share a story, how you can sound and peer and feel very worthless. When I finished university, I went to work in Nakaseke. I was a veterinary officer for Nakaseke. And I used to move on trucks that carry cows that are being brought to Kampala for slaughter. When I would be going to the livestock market, I would go with traders who have packed all kinds of luggage on trucks, and you just have minimal space to sit in. And when I would be coming back, I would come back with trucks carrying cows. One day, three things happened to me that day. One day, that day, I'll never forget it. I was sitting behind, and this truck was at night. It had no lights, so they got two torches and tied them. You know these lorries that used to have long things with indicators? So that's where they tied the torches, and we were able to see where we were going. And that was okay, until when someone alighted in the middle of the journey, and they said, "Awa Musawo, can you come and sit in the front?" So I went to sit in the front, and what I saw shocked me. This truck did not have brakes. The man was using a hand brake. So no lights and no brakes, and we are moving. And I said to myself, where have I put my life? Is my life any more worthy anything? But before I went to sit in front, there was an old woman who looked at me, and she really had mercy upon me. She said, "Young man, why don't you go to school? Why don't you go back to school, at least study and reach university?" Now, I want to tell you that I had finished university, but when this woman looked at me, she saw someone worthless who didn't even have a university degree. You can feel that worthless and finished. A commodity, something to be stepped on in your life. That day I told God, "God, you have seen and you have heard what they are saying about me. You have seen and you have done what? Heard. Rescue me from this situation. This pit where you are despised. If I had stayed in that pit, you would not be listening to me now. But God lifted me out of that pit because God does not forget, seemingly forgotten, but God knows what he's doing with your life. Pit number four, in Potiphar's house, Joseph is framed as a rapist, from a slave to a criminal. Have you been framed for something? You know, Madame looked at this young man and imagined things. And the more she imagined things, the more she imagined them happening. And so said this young man, "It must happen today or never." So he grabbed the young man trying to run away, make an alarm, he says, "You have been raping me." So he's now a rapist, a criminal. Have you been framed up by somebody? There were people when I was growing up who were framed up as night dancers. That family of night dancers, framed up. And once it's said about you, you are finished. You cannot even make a balagaland sale on the village. Everybody fears you. That one, Some have been framed up as murderers, but they have not murdered anybody. You can be framed up for anything on the village. I remember one time in Chisa, someone framed us for stealing a nkofu. Said, "This family stole my nkofu." Can you imagine Dr. Elizabeth stealing a nkofu? Moreover, one nkofu. And so the whole village gathered, the LOC came, "These are the thieves of my nkofus." You can be framed up for anything. But God has not forgotten. Even Jesus was framed up. They said he's a glutton. He eats with the sinners. He casts out demons by the power of demons. You can be framed up and becomes your identity and difficult to show your face up because you've been framed up. Are you in that kind of pit where when you get out, everybody is saying, "We know her, we know him, this is what he is." Even if you know you never did it, but you've been framed up. Pit number four. Let me tell you, God knows that truth, doesn't he? And he's not coming out to defend you yet, and so you think he has forgotten you. He knows that truth, and at appropriate time, it will appear. Don't worry. Pit number five, he's thrown into prison. From slavery to prison now. I think I'd establish some good relationship with being in Potiphar's house as a slave. He knew his small rights, he knew where he could turn, but now he's totally placed in a prison, locked up, and doesn't know what to do. From one pit to a worse pit. It's like when my father used to beat. There were several types of beatings. You could be simply caned as you were standing. You could be told to lie down, which was a rare method. Or you could be told to strip, and then you are beaten so that they beat actually on the real flesh and body. But there could even be a worse one where you could be tied. Your hands are tied behind, you are stripped, you are beaten. But there's even a worse one. After that beating, you are locked up and you have no lunch. So sometimes I'm a very hard person because that's how I was brought up. But from one pit to a worse pit, you are put into that. Has God forgotten you? The last pit, because time is going, of Joseph, he was betrayed and forgotten. After helping a fellow prisoner to interpret the dream, he told him, please, when you are out of this prison, remember me. Mention my name to Pharaoh. I am here for no reason. I was just brought here for nothing. Just mention my name to Pharaoh that I can get out. And so this cupbearer, actually the dream came true. He was released. He went and served Pharaoh. And the Bible says he forgot. He forgot all about Joseph. Forgotten, betrayed, and left there. Have you felt that sting of being forgotten, of being betrayed, of being left there? You thought somebody would remember you helped them and have totally forgotten you. They don't know anything about you. They don't want to associate with you anymore. They have forgotten everything about you, and you are left there in prison alone. Just a reminder was required, but for 2 years, Joseph was forgotten. 2 years more in prison. And all he needed to do was just mention. Even if Pharaoh does nothing, you fulfill their commitment to mention. He did not mention. And it was tough. But after 2 years, finally, when Pharaoh dreams, this man remembers and says, I remember my shortcomings. I was in prison with a young man who interprets dreams, but I forgot. Don't worry if you seem like forgotten. Don't worry if you look like betrayed. In 2022, say to yourself, I don't care if people forget about me. God has not forgotten me. He knows all about it. The Bible says in Psalms, if you want to clap hands, really clap them. Now, this man, the scriptures tell us in Psalms 27 that even if my mother and my father abandon me, forget about me, the Lord will hold me close. Psalm 27, verse 10. You can make that your theme for the year and say to yourself, even if my father and my mother abandon me, God will not. You see, Joseph's brothers had probably forgotten about him. The Ishmaelites who bought him had not taken a thought about him. Potiphar had locked him up in a prison and forgotten about him. Potiphar's wife was saying he deserves it. Let him rot there. And this cupbearer had also forgotten. Everybody will forget about you, but God will never, never forget about you. Hallelujah. And so finally, the guy is out of the pit. And as you know the story, from prison to prime minister, from prison to top man in that country, God had not forgotten. Let me give you last three things and I'll be done. I'll be leaving this platform. how do you survive in a situation where you feel forgotten? Step one, remember and confess your identity. Joseph never forgot who he was. Even in prison, he told this cupbearer that, you see, I was brought from the land of the Hebrews. He knew where he had come from. We know we are God's children. We know we are God's favorites. Even if they say whatever to you, say, me, I know I am God's favorite. My granddaughter amuses me. The other time the mother was telling her, you girl, you are ever crying. Who do you think loves you with your crying? And he says, daddy, meaning me. He loves me. Even whether I cry or what, he does what? He loves me. Can we be confident and say God loves us? Even if the situation is like this, God loves us. And I am a child of God. That's my identity. Don't confuse me. This is what I am. When you know your identity, you will stick to it. You know you fly away. You know you, the situation will come to an end because you know your God does not forget you. Number two, continue to pursue righteousness and godly living. Joseph did this in Potiphar's house, away from where he had been brought from, feeling dejected and alone and sold into slavery. He could have done anything, but he said, I will not do this. I will not sin against my God. I will not do it. He lived as if God was constantly before him. He lived that kind of life and said, there is nothing that will change me. I will continue doing righteous things and living a godly life. Number three, aim at excellence wherever you are placed. In that pit, whatever you are doing there, do it excellently well. In Potiphar's house, he excelled. In prison, he excelled. Was made chief of the prisoners, a monitor of the prisoners, a prefect in the prison, because he was serving excellently well. God was training him through all this so that when he becomes a prime minister, he will understand prisoners, he will understand those who are framed up, he will understand all these cases. He continued to serve excellently. God is calling you in 2020, whatever the pit you are in and you feel discouraged, serve excellently. Number four, continue in communion with God. The psalmist says, when things confused him, in Psalm 73 said, when I tried to understand these things, I couldn't, until I entered the sanctuary of God. Enter into the presence of God all the time, that even what seems difficult for you to understand, God will make it comfortable for you to go through it. As he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And you go through it. Let me end with this verse. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast? Can a mother have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget. Though anybody, whether your mother or father forgets, God is giving you a statement that you can rely on, a covenant that is signing with you. He says, I will not forget you. Let's stand up and pray. Our loving Father, we want to thank you because you've said to us, you will not forget us. Whatever we are going through now, Lord, you remember us. And we want to pray in this year of 2022, whatever situation we'll go through, you are the God who has said, you will remember us. And we want to thank you, God, because you've said, remember us. I pray for each person here, those listening to me, that Lord in heaven, you will keep this in their mind, that you will never, never forget them. That you never forget me. That you never forget this church. That you never forget our leaders. You will not forget us. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. And God bless you.